95.3 WBCK now presents Coach's Corner, live from Lakeview Ford. For over six decades, this has been your number one source for all local sports information. Coach's Corner is proudly presented by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now, here's your host, Bill Broderick.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, in the big chair once again at WBCK for another week of Coach's Corner. Coming to you live from downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford Lincoln on the Motor Mile. For more than 60 years, Coach's Corner has been talking to the city high school coaches about the week in sports. And we will continue to do that as we look ahead to the upcoming week of the high school football season with our first coach of the morning. But first, here's the Lakeview Ford Lincoln Coach's Corner scoreboard. In the game of the week on WBCK, Coldwater continued its bounce-back season with a 33-6 win over Penfield for Penfield's homecoming game in Interstate 8 conference action last night. Elsewhere in the city, Battle Creek Central earned a big division win to stay in first place in the SMAC East with a victory over Gull Lake, 44-24. Harper Creek also remained in first place in its conference with a 46-8 win over Parma Western. Lakeview lost to Lloyd Norks, 48-18, and St. Phil lost to Colon, 51-0. Also on Friday, in eight-player division football, Climax Scots beat Athens, 58-6. Marshall lost to Hastings, 54-40. In other games, it was Hanover Horton, 54, Homer, 6, Reading, 24, Quincy, 16, White Pigeon, 36, Union City, 0, Mendon 66, Bellevue 12, Waldron 51, Tecumseh 0. It was Galesburg Augusta over Saugatuck 42-10, and Olivet beat Eaton Rapids 56-21. We will be back with our first coach of the morning after this commercial. This is Coach's Corner on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner at Lakeview Ford Lincoln in downtown Battle Creek. We're here with our first coach of the morning, Coach Robbie Hatton of the Penfield Panthers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
We're doing good this morning. Penfield had its homecoming game last night, and they hosted a Coldwater team that's had a bounce-back season of sorts this year. And Penfield came up short, losing 33-6, and the tone was kind of set early in this game in the first half as Penfield was able to drive the ball most of the night, but they weren't able to finish drives, whether it was turnovers or getting stopped on fourth down. It had to be frustrating from the sidelines a little bit. Talk about what was happening out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Bill, you know, we had a great game plan. Kids were executing early, and then, you know, we'd get down in the red zone and turn the ball over, have a costly penalty or a costly mistake, and you know, that's the things that have got to change. You know, coming into this game, you know, we've done a pretty good job of protecting the football, really limiting our turnovers compared to last year. And, you know, this was just a game that, you know, kind of got away from us a little bit. I think maybe our emotions were a little high. You know, homecoming, everything was exciting, you know, and truthfully, you know, I thought we played a very good football game minus the turnovers, right? You know, some key plays, you know, that really turned the tide. You know, their pick six early, you know, we were moving the ball, and you know, first drive, you know, we drove all the way down and just had a penalty, and then you know, kind of ran a play a little wrong and took a big loss on first down. And you can't do that. You can't lose 7 yards on first and goal, you know, and try to bounce back. So you know, but no, we can't have four turnovers in a football game and hope to win.
Coldwater came out firing, and they took the ball, and they only needed four plays to go 65 yards, and they scored right away. But then Penfield came back to respond, and like that's the situation you were talking about. You drove it all the way down inside the 10, and then you had the interception in the back of the end zone that stopped that drive. But it looked like it was going to be a back and forth game for a little while there early, and then you really had a shot to keep yourselves in the game. You had a drive going down in the second quarter going there, and had a real nice pass to the back of the end zone, and it's a tipped pass. I think it was Tommy Reed in the back of the end zone, and it looked like his foot was down, but the official called him out on the back of the end zone and didn't say he completed the pass. From there, from our angle, it looked like he might have had his foot down. Did you guys get a chance to look at that last night?
Oh, yeah, his foot was in, but you can't blame the refs there. I mean, it's a deep ball. You know, the refs, the back judge is covering the goal line, so they don't have anybody in the back, so he had to make his best judgment call, but he was definitely in. You know, our camera showed it, and then, you know, Channel 3 News was there, and they got it on camera, too. And, you know, and sometimes that happens, but, you know, we can't use that as a crutch. You know, I told the official, I said, you know, if this one play makes or breaks the game, then obviously we didn't play well enough to win the whole game. So, you know, and then, but we scored right before half, and we got the ball coming out of half, and, you know, we really said, hey, you know what, we could put one in the end zone to start the second half, and we're right back in this thing. And, you know, we turned the ball over, and that just can't happen. So, you know, and I'll tell you, Bill, you know, at no point, even though it was 24-6, you know, we were still moving the ball, and we said, all right, if we can just get one in, and then, you know, it's 24-6, we're on the 4-yard line, and we turn the ball over again. And, you know, that just can't happen. You know, we've just got to play clean football if we want to have a shot at trying to get, you know, 1, 2, 3 more games, trying to get a couple more wins under our belt. You know, we got to play clean football, and we got to protect the football. And, you know, if we do that, you know, we're showing that we can move the ball.
Yeah, if you want to talk about video evidence, the BattleCreekEnquirer.com had that also on their highlight reel. So you take a look
there
at that.
There you go.
They got their foot. He got his foot in the back of the end zone either, and then toppled over the victory bell there. So that's a nice play. But then what was frustrating about that whole thing is that it was one or two plays later, then they throws the pick six, the 75-yard touchdown return by Coldwater, and then that kind of did the whole thing. But other than the turnovers, you were slowing down Coldwater, which is not a lot of teams have been able to do with their quarterback, Drayson Foster. He didn't go on long drives against you guys. It was mostly short fields and taking advantage of those turnovers to score, because you guys were, like you said, you were in the game in the second half, because your defense did a good job when all things being even, you guys were slowing down Coldwater enough to stay in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our defense had a great game plan. You know, I think that was the most frustrating part is, you know, as a program, we feel like we just can't put one all together right now. If our defense is on, our offense is struggling. If our offense is on, our defense is having some issues. And, you know, we just got to put it all together. And, you know, our defense came up with a couple of huge stops. You know, we were really pressuring Coldwater's quarterback. And, you know, we had a couple big plays. And then, you know, and then we just can't fall apart in crucial situations. You know, we were talking about that last night as a staff is, you know, it's like, all right, we do great, 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 great. And then it's like, oh, man, there's a big play. You know what I mean? And so it's just, you know, we got, like I said, clean football if we want to have a shot. You know, we got Marshall, Northwest, and Parma to finish the year. And, you know, we truly feel like any game we go into, we can compete and we can battle and, you know, maybe take one if we can play clean football.
Isaiah Eakins-Gray had 136 yards rushing to lead you, and he scored the lone touchdown. He rambled in for 3 yards out and got you on the board there. Like you said, looking towards next week, you do have Marshall there. Marshall played a high-scoring game last night and lost to Hastings. They were in the game most of the time, but Hastings has been beating teams. But a high-scoring game there. You played a high-scoring team this week and kind of slowed them down. How important is your defense going to be against a Marshall team that seems to be able to run the ball, and they have a two-way quarterback who can run and throw it?
Yeah, you know, we just need to make sure that we are doing ATDs, are kind of our motto, and it's attention to detail. We got to know our alignment assignment. You know, we got to make sure that, you know, we know who to block, where to block, and attack the point that we're moving guys to. And, you know, we can't take plays off. We don't have a ton of guys on our team, and our kids are going both ways for the most part. And, you know, we can't take plays off, offense or defense, if we want to have a shot to win this game. And, you know, I've said it against every team we played this year. You know, if we can do what we do, we'll have a shot to win. And, you know, if we play, again, clean football, and we know our assignment, do our job, pay attention to details, you know, we have a shot. But, you know, we just got to make sure we're focusing, and, you know, we can't we can't get upset with things we can't control.
Well, it'll be interesting next week. It's a big Interstate 8 Conference game for Penfield at Marshall. A big opportunity. Like you said last night, Penfield still has a lot to play for. They have three games on their schedule. They're all against teams that you match up well against. And three wins, a lot of things can happen for Penfield still if that were to happen. So looking forward to talk next week about Marshall versus Penfield, Coach.
Thanks, Bill.
That's it for the Penfield Coach. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning after this break on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
Hey, this is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here with our next Coach of the Morning here with Coach Brett Vernon of the Lakeview Spartans. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
We had Lakeview playing its homecoming game last night. They hosted Loy Norix, and Lakeview ran into a Loy Norix team that seemed to put it all together for one of the few times this year. They were able to score against you guys. How did that happen early? Did they jump on you guys a little bit early?
We went ahead right away, 6-0. Got the ball off the kickoff. Had a nice drive, put a nice drive together, went ahead 6-0, and from there basically chaos ensued. Kicked off the ball, they returned that for a touchdown. Went ahead 8-6, and then we got the ball back. We throw a screen that looked like it was going to develop perfectly. Running back tripped over an offensive lineman's legs. Linebacker picked it off. And from there they scored, went up 14-8. And then just, our second quarters just ended up, we muff a kickoff, we do this, do that, and just a tough way to go in the halftime. Come out of halftime, put together a couple of nice drives there, just like we've done in the last few games, and dug ourselves into a hole early. A couple turnovers here and there, and that's just, that cost us a lot, so.
Yeah, the second quarter seemed to be your Achilles heel there lately, and getting down at halftime. But you seemed to be able to respond in the second half and score two touchdowns after halftime. Austin Wildermuth had two touchdowns for you. Isaiah Jackson also added a score. And the Spartans pulling themselves together and playing good in the second half. What does that tell you about your team?
Yeah, I mean, we find a way to bounce back. I wish I could say something, but we need to figure it out in the first half and put some stuff together. You know, it was nice. Austin Wildermuth having a nice game running the football. Got Isaiah Jackson back. Didn't practice really for up until like Wednesday, and so he was a full goal, but also didn't have a ton of time practicing. So hopefully next week we've got him back full time and good to go, because he's obviously offensively, defensively, an explosive athlete for us. I've said it many times. We got to eliminate our own mistakes. We're kind of battling against ourselves right now, we got to get back to the drawing board. It's a tough loss. Obviously, homecoming. Kids are excited for it, and then to kind of lose like that, it's tough. It's kind of demoralizing. But we got to rally them and get them ready to go for Stevensville Lakeshore next week.
Yeah, the defense has been struggling a little bit. You gave up 48 points again last night, and can you pinpoint kind of what's happening there? Are the teams trying to beat you one certain way, or is it just they're kind of picking their spots against
you guys? So, I mean, you got to give Lord Norix credit, because they've got some athletes on that field. They got a sophomore running back that's really good, and they got two other running backs that are really good. They can kind of rotate those guys through that position. Do a really good job of pressing holes and cutting and breaking tackles. Defensively for us, one of our big things is just not missing tackles. Times we're in position. I don't think we were in position as well as we were against Kalamazoo Central the week before. We got to do a much better job of finishing tackles, and our defense will improve.
Like you said, turning the page, you take the long road trip to Stevensville Lakeshore next week, and that's always a challenge in itself, going to Lake Michigan. What have you seen so far yet from Stevensville Lakeshore, and What opportunities do you see for the Spartans coming up this week?
They got some speed, and, you know, that's the thing that we've struggled with is teams have had more speed than we have had, and we got to find a way to contain that speed and just make sure that when we get a chance to tackle individuals defensively, we are bringing them down all the way to the ground, get 11 hats to the football. And then offensively, we can't turn the ball over, and we threw two interceptions last night, and then gave the ball away on some kick returns that we muffed, and those are just free possessions for the other team. I mean, you've heard me say this before. We've done a decent job of moving the ball offensively. Haven't always finished drives, but we've moved the ball offensively, and I feel good about that. But we got to eliminate our mistakes so that we can finish all of these drives and put some more points on the board.
Well, Lakeview is in the smack again next week. It's a crossover game against Stevensville Lakeshore on the road. An opportunity for the Spartans to get in that win column, and we'll see what happens with Lakeview next week. Thanks a lot, Coach, for calling or coming in. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning after this break on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner, downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford Lincoln on the Motor Mile. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Bennett of St. Phil Fighting Tigers. How's it going, Coach?
Going well, thank you.
All right. St. Phil ran into an up-and-coming Colon team last night, lost 61-0. And those that numbers game for you, it continues to be what's the road bump you have for this season. Started seven freshmen last night, and that's showing up on the scoreboard a little bit more as the season kind of goes. Some attrition here hitting you guys, and talk about that part of the game where you're young, your numbers are low, and into the season you're going to get some bumps and bruises, and that has to be all that rolled up into one is kind of frustrating, right?
Yeah, we're just trying to keep our kids healthy, it seems like. You know, numbers are low, playing with two subs. We've got seven freshmen starting last night, and three of our starters last night are all nursing some significant injuries. And, yeah, the Colon team just came out and played absolute physical football against us, and I think some of the timidity and reservation of trying to keep those injuries safe, you know, hurt us in all three phases of the game. So, yeah, we're dealing with a lot of obstacles and trying to keep our kids' spirits high as best as possible. But, yeah, we're getting ready to face an extremely tough opponent upcoming Saturday at homecoming. So things don't get easier for us.
Yeah, like you said, Colon jumped on you a little bit early. They scored 29 points in the first quarter, and then they led 48-0 at halftime. Colon improves to 3-3. Colon's quarterback, Jeremiah West, has been having a good season overall against everybody. He went off a little bit last night. He was 10 of 11 passing for 300 yards and six touchdowns. So that had to be not too much fun watching him keep hitting his passes there. And he added 83 yards rushing and added a touchdown there. Dalton Williams had three catches for 116 yards and three touchdowns for the Magi also. On your side of things, Brogan Lightfoot continues to do what he can for you guys. He's having a good overall season. He led you in rushing with 41, and he also led you in defense with seven tackles. And looked like they kind of hit you with a passing game. They must have saw something there in terms of some inexperience in your defensive backfield, and they went over the top a little bit.
Yeah, we were definitely exposed. You know, Dalton, tall, fast kid, hard to match up with. And then Aiden, number five for him, just really shifty, ran great routes. And I think it really came down to, you know, we have some fast kids in our DB positions, but I think it's the experience. You know, our closeout speed was a little laggy last night, just even recognition off the line from those tight end releases. And so we were really trying to stop the run last night. You know, what we saw on film was 25, I think his name's Jabari Parker, just big kid. And so I think we were really focused on stopping the run, and they came out and hit us a little bit more in the passing game than I think what we anticipated or expected. And we were literally two steps behind when you go on film. So it was really frustrating. I think our young guys did the best they could in coverage. We just weren't quite as fast enough to keep up with them. Yeah.
Well, Stanfield really has to focus right now is baby steps, like you said, with this roster. And have you seen some freshmen that have opened your eyes a little bit in the last few games that are kind of getting it right now and give you some hope for the future?
Yeah, we've got we have several that I think have shown significant improvement, especially over the last 7 weeks. Will Rappel-Jay is a freshman for us right now. He's at a right guard position. Body style, he's probably a little bit more of a skill player, but the kid's just tough. He's one playing through injury. His football IQ is just growing significantly, and so it's really nice to be able to have that on the line, especially when our senior Benny Nelson's out for the rest of the season. And so he's really stepped up, showing some great just poise. And then Caleb Francisco is really stepping up on our team as well as one of our wide receivers. Just his route running is getting a whole lot better. And then also what he's bringing to the blocking game. He's doing really well. What's asked out of him, he's another kid playing with a significant injury. And so they're showing grit. And I think if we can really focus on developing the fundamentals and getting these guys in the weight room in the off season and develop them, next spring, next summer, and just keep building on it. I think this class going in specifically into their junior, senior year, I think they're going to be tough. So, yeah.
Well, you mentioned homecoming is coming up next Saturday, an afternoon game, a 1:30 game at CW Post against a big bad Mendon team, which is always tough to play there. But homecoming festivities will be going on. A lot of fun for the alumni to come back and get together and play under the sunshine at downtown Battle Creek with St. Phil for a 1:30 game. And hopefully we get some fans out there to see that game. Thanks a lot, Coach, for coming in. And we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, thank you.
That'll be that for Coach Bennett. We'll be here for our next Coach of the Morning on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, Sports Editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Lauren Granger of the Battle Creek Central Bearcats. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
We have Battle Creek Central with a big win last night over Gull Lake, 44-24, and has major ramifications for the season. Battle Creek Central is now 3-0 in the East Division in the SMAC, tied for first place. And that means we can look ahead and finally, and Battle Creek Central will host Kalamazoo Central next week in week 7. Both teams will be tied for first place in the division as they go into that game. Battle Creek Central is also 4-2. They are looking ahead to the playoffs, but some big things happening for the Bearcats, and it all is because you guys came up with that 44-24 win over Gull Lake last night. It was a slow start to the Bearcats, but a big finish, 28 points in the second half, and another big win for Battle Creek Central.
Yeah, we can finally talk about it. Division is on the line. You could say division championship runs through Battle Creek next week, and been a couple of years since we've been able to say that. So obviously, it's been looming kind of in the background, but one of those things you don't really want to talk about before it's here because you don't want to look past your current opponent. But very exciting, oldest rivalry west of the Alleghenies, and it features a matchup between two teams that are undefeated in the division, and really, whoever wins it probably wins the division. So it's our last divisional game. I think they have one more after us they would have to play, but there's a lot on the line, and how we play next week will give us a glimpse of what our future might look like. You know, speaking of playoffs, obviously a couple more weeks to go before we get to that point, but great test coming, and we're ready to be tested.
Yeah, that's exciting for the Bearcats. Like you said, have Kalamazoo Central in town at CWO Post Field next week for a big downtown game on a Friday night with a division title on the line. It is a championship game for Battle Central. You mentioned Kalamazoo Central does have another game after that in the division that they would be favored to win at that point. But for Battle Central, is a championship game. You guys take care of business. You guys are Smack East Division champs. Haven't been able to say that for a little while. So this young team that you have, still a young team, has to be super excited for that opportunity. Could that buzz be felt last night as soon as the Gully game was over a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I was slightly disappointed, obviously, with the way we started last night, and so I may have taken the wind out of their sails a little bit from enjoying the win the way that they should have been able to. But, you know, as a coach, my focus is just it's so long-term, 30,000-foot view. And I had a really hard time last night focusing on the fact that we had just won, because there were so many things that I felt like we needed to establish last night in order to call ourselves a good team long term that we failed to establish. And so, I don't know. People say things like, "Oh, you play down to your competition," is a common phrase. And I felt like Gull Lake had some firepower that it was really dangerous to me. I have great respect for their quarterback. He's a great player. They had some good receivers that were capable of making plays. And I didn't feel like we respected it the way that we should have. And they hurt us. And, you know, 16-10 at halftime. And at that point, it's anybody's game, really. And you could hear it, actually, in the locker room. Their locker room's right next to our locker room. We're in our locker room talking. They're in their locker room cheering. And they had a different energy than we had. And so we had to challenge ourselves to come out in the second half and really find our energy. And obviously we played better in the second half, but overall, you know, we left a lot to be desired for the way that we played, I think. And we, you know, when you're a coach, you focus on are we meeting our potential? Are we as good as we could be? And so I'm going to continue to talk about those things, but try to not be too negative at the same time, because the kids do deserve the opportunity to celebrate where they are and the position they put themselves in. And we want to enjoy that as much as we can. It doesn't come around like that every year. So,
28 points in the second half. You figure things out after halftime and really played well in the second half. And a lot of that had to do with you had your sophomore quarterback came back. He's been sitting out for a couple of games with injury, and he had 137 yards passing and 3 scores through the air, and he added 123 yards rushing and 2 more touchdowns. Talk about his impact on the team. And you had some good play at quarterback the last couple of weeks when he was out, but he is a difference maker when he's on the field.
He's a huge difference maker. The things that he does with his feet they're hard to defend. As soon as you feel like you have our passing concepts figured out and you've got our receivers covered, then you got to figure out a way to keep him from spilling out of the pocket. And he's really dynamic in open space. And I said at the beginning of the year, I would love to see him have the opportunity to play some slot receiver, because when you get the ball in space in his hands, he's really hard to bring down. And obviously he's really special at quarterback, so it's hard to move him away from that position. You take him out to slot receiver, then, you know, who's going to be getting the ball to him? So we try to do some things offensively that allow him to have some freedom with his legs and make those same sorts of plays. And last night, you know, he was out had a concussion, and you always take that serious enough to where you're cautious with what you want to do when they come back. But LJ's a warrior, and it was almost like we couldn't contain him ourselves, you know. Drop back and throw the ball. Oh, no, just take off.
He can do a lot for you guys. And he got some help last night. Mubarak Jibril at 104 yards rushing, 13 carries and a score. And 3 receivers caught touchdown passes. Aaron Williams, Joshua McDonald, and Zavion Anderson all scored. On defense, you guys had a Gull Lake team that can score some points. And your defense came up a little bit when they needed to. Amir Luckett had 9 tackles Raylan McCoy had 6 tackles and an interception, and Jordan Rowe had 2 sacks, and just an overall good game on both sides of the scrimmage line, especially in the second half, and sets you guys up at 4-2. And 4-2 at this time of year, that has to sound pretty sweet, right?
Yeah, it does. You mentioned Mubarak Jabril, too. Let's talk about him for a second, because that's the second straight game that he's rushed for over 100 yards. And one of the things that we need to establish, you know, as a team throughout the season we've been talking about is we need to establish the ability to run the ball. And he did a great job last night breaking tackles and getting yards after contact. And he's developing into a really good running back. And he's only a sophomore, too. So lots of young promise on that team. Aaron Williams, who you said caught a touchdown pass, is just a sophomore. And so, yeah, very exciting. Defensively, we played a good game at times. It did seem like every time we'd have the defensive backfield in good coverage, the quarterback was scrambling and getting the first down, and we had a hard time keeping him in the pocket and getting to him. So I'm sure that our upcoming opponents will try and exploit that same thing, and we've got to figure that out. We've got to figure out our pass rush lanes and make sure that we're staying disciplined in them.
Well, we have that. Looking forward to the longest-running rivalry west of the Alleghenies at downtown Battle Creek next week. Kalamazoo Central coming into town. They have their D1 prospect, Dewey Young, coming with them. And it'll be a challenge for Battle Creek Central, but a challenge they can be up for. And if they are, they can win the Smack East Division, clinch a share of that, or win it outright if they get the victory. Exciting week for upcoming for the Battle Creek Central Bearcats, and it'll be hopefully exciting to talk to you, Coach, next Saturday.
Yeah, and one thing to mention, Kalamazoo has a player in the hospital right now that is not doing well, so just prayers up to the Kalamazoo community. As we enter this week, I'm sure they'll have a lot on their mind, and we just want Kalamazoo community to know that our thoughts are with them.
That's a great sentiment, and we'll look forward to getting some news on that during the week. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here after this break on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Mason Converse of the Harper Creek Beavers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
Harbor Creek continued to roll in the Interstate 8 Conference last night. They came up with a 46-8 win over Parma Western. Harbor Creek led 36-0 at halftime, and Harbor Creek put up 363 yards of total offense. Parma Western has been that team that you've had to try to get over in terms of the running towards the top of the division the last couple of years, but they're a little down this year. They're 1-5, but it's still Parma Western, and you guys wanted to come out fast and set the tone early, and how important was that?
I mean, it is with Parma. It's a true rivalry in the truest sense of the word, or it's become that over the past really 10 years. And the past now 11 times we've played, it's 5-6. So it's pretty even back and forth, about as even as it could be. And homecoming, it's always a lot of excitement around the area, and our community does a great job with homecoming and the carnival outside the middle school, and the stands were packed last night before the game. But with homecoming, you want the boys to have fun, but there's always a lot of distractions too. And so as a coach, you get nervous about are the boys focused enough to come out and play a game? Because at the end of the day, and we talk about this, I mean, we're the main event, and we're the reason that homecoming is taking place. And if we don't show up on the field, everybody's going to be upset and not happy with what we did. And I'll give my guys credit. Although we didn't play our best game, we played very well last night and got a win against a Parma team that is, I know they're 1-5 now, but they're better than their record shows. And they've had a couple of one score games the last couple of weeks and might be a little bit down this year, but again, they're Parma and they've got good talent. They won the MHSAA state track championship. We won the team state track championship. And so it's been a true rivalry back and forth and one that's been a lot of fun to be a part of.
Your quarterback, Maddox McCarty. McCarty continues to have hitting his groove. He continues to put some good games back to back, and Yeah, 63 yards rushing and two touchdowns last night with his feet. He also went 6 for 9 passing with 122 yards. I think third or fourth straight game where he's had over 100 yards passing and two more touchdowns through the air there. And Dylan Ebersole and Cohen Slechter each caught touchdown passes. Talk about his play, Maddox McCarty, that you're getting from a senior who waited his turn and is really coming to his own.
Yep, he's really getting into a groove here and into a rhythm these last couple of weeks, really these last few weeks. And just like you said, 363 yards of total offense, and we can't it's tough to lose games when you're moving the ball like that, going back and forth. So we're still running the ball really well, and our offensive line was firing off last night with 240 yards rushing, and Kamari Hampton led us with 90 yards rushing. But we still come at you in waves with about six different running backs, and so it's tough to know who is in the backfield and what style of running back are they, and then that helps to open things up for Maddox, and he's hitting his receivers right in stride. And that's probably the biggest difference between now and the beginning of the year is he's got protection. We're doing a better job of protecting him, and he's sitting in there and being patient, and he's just laying the ball right. The pass to Dylan down our sideline was – he couldn't have made a more perfect pass. I mean, it was a dime right down our sideline. Dylan never broke stride, and he beat his defender for a long touchdown, and he's extremely efficient. 6 of 9, I think, is what he was. So, and when they do cover the receivers, they don't have an answer for him with his feet, and so he's very timely with his scrambling, and those are the kinds of heads up plays that are really backbreakers for defenses, because when they do cover the receivers and they seem to feel like they have you hemmed in, and he finds a way to escape and gets downfield, like those are the things as a defense that you just kind of like gut punches, and he's doing a great job with that and keeping drives going for us. So very happy for him, and I think you mentioned this too, but Kamari Hampton and Cohen Slechter both had big catches out of the backfield. So did Cam Converse and Brock Hibbs. So those are the guys that were catching Maddox's balls. But Dylan led us with 72 yards receiving last night.
And he's getting a lot of time to throw, which is key. And that offensive line has given him that time. They're also making holes for those running backs that you mentioned there. And that was a big question mark coming to the season, but they've more than answered that. And that group is really playing well for you also.
I couldn't be more proud of those guys. And we talked about our plan going back from 2 years ago that the seniors that graduated in 2025, we knew what they were and what they were pretty good, but we needed to look ahead also to the 2025 season also. And so we asked those guys to go down and play together as a unit on JV so they could be ready for this year. They didn't necessarily like it, but they bought into it, and it's paying off. And so that philosophy, that strategy of player development, which is really why we did it, is really paying off for us. And you're seeing it on the field. They're gelling. They're making calls together. They're enjoying each other, meaning like playing with each other side by side. And they are truly a unit. And that's what you need from your offensive line for sure.
And a good team is always defined by getting good play out of offense, defense, and special teams. And Harbor Creek is doing that as well. Your kicker, Alex LaFleur, had two more field goals last night, including a school record. When you have that kind of weapon, that's got to be nice.
So it really started with the opening kickoff. And we've been really working on this for weeks now as far as kicking it where we want to kick it on kickoffs and not kicking it to their weapons, trying to get them to have to scramble and not know where the ball is going. He kicked it perfectly in the back right corner of the field, so not to the end zone, but back right corner of the field. Their kid kind of bobbled it, and we pinned him deep right out of the start. And to, again, have him be able to place the ball where he wants to place it and where we want to place it is such a huge weapon. And we've been practicing field goals for a while. We did it in some previous games just to get him experience. So when it was a big moment, he wouldn't struggle or be too nervous. And he kicked a 37-yarder at the end of probably about 4 minutes to go in the first half. He hooked one right at the end, the very last play of the first half, and missed that. So had he hit that, he would have had three field goals on the night, and that one missed by about a foot. And then 37 yards puts him in the record books also. But then he hit the 45-yarder in the fourth quarter, which actually, as long as our records are correct, it breaks the records that are two guys that were tied for it, Rob Moran in 1989 and Mark Hosking in 2002, both had 40-yarders. So Alex LaFleur now stands atop with a 45-yarder. And just a great young man, plays soccer for us and is a captain on the soccer team. And, again, just a terrific high-character guy that we have on our team.
A lot of fun for him, and now we look ahead, and the I-8 gets a little serious. You're going to go to Hastings. Hastings is right there, tied with Harper Creek for first place in the conference. They put up a big number last night in a back-and-forth game with Marshall. They beat Marshall 54-40. Hastings has shown that they can score a lot of points. They've also shown that they can give up a lot of points. So what have you seen from Hastings in terms of that? And then talk about that rivalry that's kind of grown also.
Absolutely. Before we do that, I want to talk about our defense because they played outstanding all night last night too. Held Parma to 8 first downs, 2 of 12 on third downs, and held them to about 180 yards total offense. And Josh Bodie is really coming into his own at the Mike linebacker. He had 11 tackles. And then Antoine Westry, Levi Carr, and Cam Converse all had 6 or 7 tackles each to really lead our defense. And so those guys are terrific. And we're going to need them next week with Hastings because Hastings running the T offense, power T offense, they're going to come. We know what they're going to do. They're going to come right at you and try and run over you. Honestly, it's not much different than our philosophy. And if we can get a couple of stops and be able to score on them, then gives us an opportunity in the game. And the rivalry going back and forth, I mean, the last 5 or 6 years, it's either been us or them that's won the conference title. So it's and they're 5-1, we're 5-1, we're at their place. They're ranked in Division III, we're ranked in Division IV. And so it's really, those are the types of games you want to play for as a player and a coach. And we know they'll be ready, and we know their crowd will be hostile. And again, those are the fun kind of environments you want to be part of.
That was a huge game last year in terms of your road to the conference championship, and the way you did it was holding on to the ball a little bit, making sure that they didn't have the ball a ton of chances, and then shortening the game a little bit and make sure they didn't melt the clock for you. You guys have scored a little bit more, and they look like they want to score a little bit more this year. Is that still the same philosophy? You have to kind of see how the game goes.
The way that they play football, you have to figure it's going to be a 6-possession game, so you have to be really efficient with your touches, and that's going to include having to be aggressive and going for it on fourth down because you know they're going to do it. So it forces you to do those kinds of things. They don't typically kick extra points. They try to go for two. So you have to try and match that. But certainly if you can keep the ball away from them, it makes a big difference because you can't score. They can't score if they don't have the ball.
Exactly. It'll be a lot of fun next week. Harper Creek is going to Hastings. Big chance to take over the lead of the Interstate 8 Conference and make sure that you're on the road to another back-to-back title. Excited to talk about that next, Coach, next week.
Thanks, Bill.
That's it for Coach's Corner for this week. We'll be back next Saturday for another edition of Coach's Corner on WBCK 95.3 FM.